After sitting around for some time and feeling rather bored, I suddenly realized that I had not seen past the boundary of the hall. Surely there must be more. I made my way to the door and opened it quietly in order not to disturb anyone. I proceeded towards the church and kept it as a landmark so that I would not get lost. As I walked on, I felt a warmth that radiated from every direction. I looked up, thinking it must be the sun, but the sun was nowhere to be seen nor was there a cloud in the sky. I had not looked before, which now seemed very strange. But, then again, what wasn't strange in this place? As I walked further, I saw other people. Some were young couples walking arm in arm. Obviously, they had come together since coming here. How happy they looked! On reflection, I remembered that I had never had a steady girlfriend, but what I had never had I wouldn't miss. It was such a beautiful day, I made my way to a nearby spinney. Remark, it is a small wood. When I approached, I saw that the trees were fine and upright. Nestled at their bases were daffodils and bluebells which brightly flourished into a crescendo of color growing side by side within the grass. The air was saturated with the sweet scent of honeysuckle and lavender. The carpet of flowers before me was so inviting that I sat with my back against one of the trees and began to relax. I noticed the trees were in full bloom, mirroring my frame of mind. As I daydreamed, I began to drift off to sleep, but was interrupted by a voice. On looking around, I was amazed to discover an Oriental standing immediately behind me. "Don't be afraid," he said, "I'm here to help you. Let me introduce myself. My name is Chan, and I have been nominated to work as your guide. Even though we're of different races, there will be no language barriers between us." I looked him up and down and admired his splendid clothes. The colors were vivid as though they were alive. I wondered where he was from. "From the sixth plane where I live, of course," he said. "Hey, I never spoke. How did you know what I was thinking?" "I can read your thoughts," he answered. "Here it's not necessary to speak. You too will learn to use your higher senses for speech." "But talking to me now?" I questioned. "Of course I am. Although I can use the power of my mind, it does not mean I wish to lose the power of speech. There is a lot for us to discuss, but first, let me finish what we've started. When you first came over to this life, you brought your personality and all of its experiences with you. One of those experiences was your ability to talk and communicate on Earth. You will not lose your old experiences. You can't lose them because they are part of your character. Life is about building one's character, and experiences are the building blocks of the character. Could you imagine a god of love taking a four-year-old child out of nursery and putting him into university? The child would be totally lost because he would be unable to comprehend his new environment. In order to understand the university stage correctly, he has to go through nursery, primary and secondary schools first. The next stage is then automatic, and the quest for education follows smoothly. It is the same for you because you cannot go from physical death straight into the spirit plane. The adjustment would be too great for you. You are taken through the astral planes in stages. Each one educates you for the next. You will have to re-adjust your old ideas of Earth schooling, but I will be your teacher and help you with learning new ideas. Your first lesson will be to learn how to focus your thoughts by concentrating your willpower. You then can communicate with other souls mentally. The way this works is that a thought becomes the line, and the will becomes the impulse. Just as on Earth you communicate by telephones, here you use I will. By controlling your thoughts and willpower, you will be able to receive and send messages. It is immediate communication. Until you have mastered it, you must use your voice box. The one you have been using for the last 20 years. I was surprised that he knew my age, and being inquisitive I asked how. "Well," he said, "I can read the pattern of your life which tells me all about you, from the moment of birth until now." "God," I thought, "he knows all about me." "Keep calm," he said. "I can read your thoughts, Jim. You don't mind my calling you Jim? No, I said with a start, I don't mind, but what is this pattern, a four-eyed business? I think it's best, he replied, that I don't go into it now. Thinking back now, I recall how little I knew or understood at that time. Later Chan and I became like father and son. Now then, Jim, I want to talk to you about your sleeping habits. Please do not interrupt me. You will find many beneficial changes here. One is that you will require no sleep. The sleep you've had since coming here was one of conditioning. When your mother first held you in her arms and nestled you into her bosom, you felt safe and secure, so drifted into the world of sleep in order to rest your tiny body after its entry into the world. Your body was an engine that needed food, water, and rest to function properly. Sleep was necessary to renew the body, but often it was used to escape daily commitments. Many think that all their troubles will disappear with a night's sleep. Nothing is further from the truth. Do you realize you have spent a third of your life asleep? Although you have not needed sleep here, your mind has retained the conditioning patterns from its earth life. The physical body slows down in response to the human clock, which indicates when rest is needed. Your clock will alter to the vibrations of this plane and slowly break down your conditioned mind, allowing more freedom. The next time you want to sleep, say, no. After doing this several times, you will break the habit and no longer require sleep. You'll feel just as well, if not better. But I felt so full of energy after my sleep, I said. Just stop to think, he replied. You will no longer need sleep, but you will have the same energy as before. At times you will find it necessary to rest in order to digest what you have learned, but sleep as you have known it will be unnecessary. My mind was full of Chan's words. I know this must be a silly question, I said. Are you telling me that if I tell myself I don't need sleep, I will not sleep and will feel just as good without it? I have just explained this to you, he answered in a tone that left me in no doubt that he knew what he was talking about and that I should have listened more intently. He asked if I had any other questions. Yes, I replied. Where can I get something to eat? I'm bloody starving. I was waiting for that, he teased. Do you remember what I was saying a moment ago about sleep? Well, the same thing applies to eating. I was taken aback by Chan's words and yelled out, you don't mean I can't eat either? There is a good reason for this, he replied. The conditions of life on the higher spheres are more dependent on mental power than those of the earth plane. For instance, you have a body which is a duplicate of the one you had on the earth plane. You have lungs which fill with air. You have a heart which beats and pulsates. You also have a liver, kidneys and other internal organs, but they are not used in the same way as on the earth plane because here you do not eat coarse food, which must be processed by the liver, kidneys, etc. Here we absorb food or fuel through the pores of our skin as well as through our breath. This is totally adequate for our well-being. So, I said, to eliminate these hunger pains I need only think that I don't need food. A smile crossed his face as he nodded. Very good, young man, he said, you are beginning to learn already. As you go along, it will become easier. You have only been here a short time and already you are questioning and thinking in a different light. You learn quickly because you have a quality of perception that many lack. This is because you came over at such an early age, and the material way of earth life had not become too deeply embedded in your consciousness. However, you need an adjustment period because of the way you passed. Nevertheless, I'm sure you'll succeed when you gain experience. And I assure you, you'll have that opportunity here. Come, let us walk. I have finished talking for the moment and want now to show you some of life here. Also, we'll get new clothes for you. I felt excited at the mention of new clothes because I still had on my uniform and was rather fed up with it. We walked for half an hour or so before Chan pointed and said, we're going just over that hill. Another time I will show you how to use your willpower to travel anywhere you wish. In other words, you won't have to walk anywhere you don't choose. You'll get the by simply thinking of the place and directing your thought there. As I said earlier, thought acts as a line, and, in this case, the will acts as a magnet drawing itself to the line. All very simple, he chuckled quietly. I saw an all-knowing smile spread across his face when he finished speaking. So much for me to learn, I thought. All these things, talking without talking, no sleep, no eating, and now I don't have to walk anywhere. God, what's happening to me? I was pulled from my thoughts by Chan's command, calm down. I can read your thoughts. It's not as bad as you think. You'll find that without the limitation of the physical body you'll have a much wider field of expression. We reached the top of the hill and saw a small town beneath us. I looked at Chan, whose smile seemed to say, I told you so. It didn't take long to reach the town. It was like many towns on the earth plain. There were guest houses and shops of all kinds. The big difference between this town and those on earth was that this town was much cleaner. There were no dirty streets and polluted air. It was peaceful, without the ordinary hustle and bustle of town life on earth. The shop windows were very plain because, as Chan explained, men could not resist temptation. Once things are displayed in shop windows on earth, they must be had. We have no need of temptation here. I agreed with his thinking. We came to quite an ordinary-looking tailor's shop. There was no clutter of rail upon rail of jackets and trousers. A rather superior-looking man entered the room where we sat. I stood to attention, forgetting for a moment where I was. The tailor began taking my measurements and asked, "What is it you'd like, sir? Any particular style or color?" "No, no. Whatever you think best. Mind you, I do like the color of that," I said while pointing to an indigo in the open sample book. I was pleased with my decision to have the unique blue. Once the measuring was over, we were told to come back in about 3 hours. I saw that Chan was also pleased with my choice, even though he would never admit it. "We have other stops for more garments," Chan said and gestured for me to follow. We picked and chose from numerous shops until I had 4 bags of new clothes. You may wonder how I paid for everything. When I asked about payment, I was told it wasn't necessary because everyone here worked for the benefit of others. I thought how much better this way seemed. "Well, Jim, are you pleased with your new clothes?" asked Chan. I was delighted and said so. "Good," he replied. "Now I want to take you to a place where you can bathe and change into some of your new clothes." After a while we left the town behind and came to some fields. In due course we came to a wood where Chan led me to a pool overgrown with bushes. Pushing these aside, I saw the pool was fed by a small stream. It looked very inviting, it was as if the water beckoned me. Chan also encouraged me, "Get out of those old clothes and slip into the water." It took only seconds to get out of my uniform and into the water. I can't put into words the feeling that came over me on entering the pool. It was as if the water had a mind of its own. As hard as I tried to push myself under, I popped up again. Chan stood next to my uniform and seemed to be in a deep state of concentration. Even from a distance, I sensed his willpower. He gestured with his hands, whereupon a light began to emanate from one of his palms. The light spread over my uniform, and within moments the light and the uniform had gone. This startled me, and I immediately shouted out, "What have you done with my uniform? Where has it gone? I will get into trouble if I don't have it." "You don't need reminders of war here," he barked. "You left the war behind you on the earth plane, but your uniform was a part of it and still held negative vibrations which could affect you. It is time to get out and dress. I have laid out your clothes. But I need a towel," I said. "No, you will not," he replied. "Just get out, and you will see what I mean." I hauled myself to my feet, taking care not to slip, and there I stood in all my glory. The water on me just slid off, and I was completely dry. A most remarkable feeling came with it. All my troubles had been washed away, giving me a new lease of life. I walked over to where Chan had laid out my clothes and put them on. When finished, I looked for Chan. "I am here, over here," he shouted from a clump of trees. I laughed to myself because he looked ornamental as he sat on a chair under one of the trees. There was a chair obviously meant for me next to him, so I walked over and sat down. "Well," he asked, "do you feel better?" I answered, "As a matter of fact, I do. I feel extremely good since my bathe." "Why is this?" "More explanation is necessary," he said. "You know that your new body is different from your old one. It is subjected more to etheric energies. Your body and everything else here is affected by these energies. Water is the most charged. I want you to remember something from the earth plane. Cars the required an energy store in order to run efficiently. Think of your body as a car, which uses a battery. The astral body possesses an etheric energy store, which needs to be recharged when run down. Normally you draw sufficient energy from the ether to maintain your body. Occasionally you will do a particular job that will drain you faster than you can recharge. Until you have learnt otherwise, you will need to bathe in one of the streams to speed up the recharging process. I have no doubt, when you gain practical experience, you will understand what I have been saying. Already you have seen you don't need a towel. Let me give you an explanation for this. Our bodies are made up of chemicals drawn from the atmosphere, but in a much more refined state. The higher vibrations and the greater amount of life force, which continually passes through us, make our bodies far stronger, though more buoyant than Earth bodies. The plane we are on is much nearer to the God force than the Earth plane, therefore we draw a tremendous amount more of it into ourselves. This applied to your recent discovery that your body could absorb energy from water without absorbing the water itself. Let me give you another comparison. Sometimes during your Earth life, you will have washed your mother's windows. When you put the wet rag to the glass, you would have noticed that the water ran off the pane, leaving a small residue. Here you don't get the residue but are left with a clean and recharged body. Now, does this answer your question? Yes, I answered. But what happened to my uniform, and how did you make it disappear? You certainly have an inquiring mind, he said. That's good because it means you listen intently to what I say. By using my willpower, I am able to affect astral matter. This means I can build or dissolve it back into its original elements. For example, our chairs have been built this way. First, I had to think of the chair and hold the thought in my mind while focusing my will on the thought form. This brought the subjective view into the objective world by drawing objective matter into use. This is how we get most things in this world. Now, to the reason why I got rid of your uniform. It was infected with thoughts of war. The hatred, death and destruction you built up towards the enemy affected the gross nature of your lower self. Your uniform was a part of you. Although it did not have a mind of its own, it came into contact with your thoughts and acted like a sponge soaking up the emotions of war. Thus a transmission was formed between the uniform and you. Though unseen, there was an effect on you, which clouded your feelings with hatred of your fellow men. You must not allow this because it impairs your spiritual growth. This is one of the reasons we try to get new souls away from their immediate earth conditions, otherwise they continue the battle on the lower subdivisions of the astral plane where evil reigns. You were lucky to have been found by the captain and brought here, otherwise lower elements would have got hold of you and trapped you by the lower desires of earth life such as drinking, gambling and sex. You then would have become a slave to those desires and slowly sunk deeper into astral matter, creating your own hell. I was amazed to hear Chan mention hell. I asked if there was such a place and, if so, where it was. Another time I will explain where it can be found, he said. Now I prefer to continue with what I was saying. There are heights for you to climb, but the first step starts at the bottom rung. The battle between good and evil is always waged on the lower levels. Sometimes evil tries to expand its boundaries, and open conflict occurs. It does not last long because we have the power of right on our side. At times the Lords of Light venture into the affray, and, with their help, evil is soon dispersed. This provides us with an opportunity to take prisoners, whom we hope to convince of the error of their ways. We cannot hold them long because their own evil thoughts pull them back to their plane. Sometimes the souls are not evil, but are lost and have fallen into the wrong company. If they agree, we help them climb out of their darkness onto the path of light. The souls who work to uplift these lost beings are called rescuers. They have the task of going into the lower planes and are chosen for their highly developed willpower. To venture into the darkest of these realms takes a great deal of skill and courage. And in these darkest realms, rescuers go in groups of four in order to maintain the four cardinal points of the soul they are helping. In this way, evil does not stand a chance of interfering with our work. The retrieved souls are taken to a place of rest, where they stay until they develop a more positive attitude and until their minds open to the higher influences of life here. We have a whole army of souls who work in this way. I worked as a rescuer until I was placed in charge of your well-being. Now, it is time to get you back. I have talked at length about the way of life here, and you need to digest what has been said. We got up from the chairs, which disintegrated with a wave of Chan's hand. I asked if he would show me how to do this. Yes, he said, another time. We must go. It didn't take long to walk back to the billet. I felt good and felt I looked good in my new clothes. When will I see you again? I asked. Very shortly, he replied. You need rest now. If you need me, concentrate on my face and name. And see what happens. Goodbye, for now. I thanked him for his help. He waved goodbye and suddenly started to fade. Within moments he was gone. I thought to myself, can you beat that? Here 1 minute and gone the next. I opened the door to the hut and came face to face with Bill. Good God, Jim, he said, you do look well. I like your new suit, very nice indeed. What have you been up to? It's a long story. I never thought that life after death was anything like this. It's nothing like what Mother told me. She learned totally different things in church. Where are the guardian angels? The nearest I have seen to an angel is a Chinaman who comes and goes as he wishes. But he's a good sort and has been showing me the ropes. Did you say a Chinaman? Bill laughed. Yes, I did, I replied. What's so funny? By this time Bill had to sit down from laughing so hard. When you've finished, tell me the joke, I commanded. Well, he said, if you can have a Chinaman for an angel, guess who I have? I'm beginning to think anything's possible, I said. Bill swallowed his laughter to speak. Listen to this. I have a red Indian for a guide. He calls himself Medicine Man, and I have had quite a time with him, I can tell you. He's promised to take me for new clothes later on. I will look as smart as you then. This time we both burst into laughter. Who would believe we had a red Indian and a Chinaman for guardian angels? We could not contain our fits of laughter. Finally, everyone in the billet joined us, although they didn't know what they were laughing about. This went on for some time until I decided to lie down on my bed. I felt cheerful and started to think things over. I wondered how long it'd been here, it lost all sense of time. The memory of my last battle had faded. Was it a day or 10 days ago? God only knows, so much had happened in the meantime. A loud bang brought me from my thoughts. The sergeant stood at the door. He looked around the room, shook his head and mumbled something about our appearance in a light-hearted attempt to make us feel guilty about being out of uniform. Right, he said, there's a meeting with the captain. On your feet, move. Here we go again, I mumbled. We entered the hall and sat down. Bill sat next to me. As we waited for the officer's address, we shared a few jokes. Good day, gentlemen, the officer boomed out from the rostrum. I have heard that you are all settling in. That's good. Each one of you has been introduced to your guide, whose job it is to help you learn the workings of this plane. I am sure it has come as a shock to many of you that your guides are of different races. All are God's children, and all of us evolve the same way. I now hand you over to the teacher. Welcome, my friends, began the teacher. I bring greetings from the Most High who looks on you all with love. I wish to address you about the God force that lies within you. For those of you who were agnostic in the earth life, it will have come as a shock that you survived death. And a greater shock that there is a God. Do not think of God as a man or woman who sits on a throne looking down from a great height to see if you are good or bad. Nothing could be further from the truth. God is the intangible spirit behind all life, his force is ever present. God has bestowed life on you and crowned it with consciousness, knowing this would develop individuality. Thus it can be said that our gift from God is our own conscious individuality, which cannot be taken away. You may well ask why you were not conscious of this in your earth life. From the moment you were born, you were surrounded by material things to sustain the material body and mind. As you grew up, the material mind created a concrete wall around itself because your concrete thoughts were conditioned that way. Once this wall is built, it stops some of the spiritual sunlight from entering your life. You become unable to recognize anything beyond the concrete world. There are some people on the earth plane who strive to recognize the God qualities within themselves. In doing so, they slowly break down their walls, allowing the sunlight of spiritual truth to enter. When this happens, they become aware of their true nature and try to use their knowledge of purity and love to help humanity by spiritualizing the consciousness of those they meet. There have been many such enlightened souls who have imparted their knowledge to a hungry world. One such soul was Jesus of Nazareth, who portrayed the Christ qualities of strength, love, goodness and compassion. Everyone he came into contact with was better for meeting him. My friends, you have the same qualities within, even though the Christ light does not burn so brightly. You must endeavor to recognize this light and become aware of its power. You will, by your very thought, increase this divine power tenfold. We want you to realize your potential for good or bad. The power works the same for each. As a plant or flower exhales a pleasant or unpleasant perfume, man likewise influences his surroundings for good or for bad. You cannot meet someone without influencing his soul. You will be taught to control your lower thoughts and to exhale the higher ones because, in time, you will come into contact with others who need help. Just as we are helping you now, you also will stretch out the hand of friendship. But learning is a slow process for all of us because each soul has a different level of awareness and has embarked on an individual journey through life. I want each of you to consider what the word life means. Let me explain more clearly. You cannot destroy life. You can only change its mode of expression. The physical body doesn't exist after death, but the life force within that body will exist on another plane. It has simply changed location. There is still a body that lives, and a mind that thinks. You have experienced this transition yourselves. Now to the reason why you survived death. The life force, about which I have been speaking, is called the God within. God cannot destroy himself because he is the natural law that surpasses all laws, including the law of physical death. The law of life is a continuum of movement and change. Nothing can hold back evolution because it is a must, and your evolutionary climb into higher and higher states of consciousness is your birthright given by the supreme being we call God. It is sufficient for now to have touched on this great mystery called life. The teacher paused for a few minutes and then asked if we had any questions. I looked around the hall and saw many heads turning to discuss what the teacher had said. The side discussions continued until one young man stood up and asked, "Will I ever meet him, sir?" "What is your name, young man?" the teacher inquired, "and whom do you wish to meet?" "Well, God of course, sir," he answered. "Oh, yes. My name is Albert Ford." Everyone laughed as the chap became flustered. I bet he wished the floor would open and swallow him. But to give him his due, he remained standing. "That's enough, gentlemen. The teacher said, "Calm down now." A hush came over the hall and Albert sank back into his chair.